Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys. Bless you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Healing hasn't passed away. The gifts of the Spirit haven't passed away. Jesus is still on the throne. He's still as powerful as ever. He gave authority to us, and we're to use it in His name. And leukemia is just a name. Whoever those people are that you're going to touch will be healed. If you need healing in this room, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over the bodies in this room that need healing. I declare in Jesus' name that the anointing removes the burden and destroys the yoke. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you good? Thank you, Lord. You know, when I was 20, I was in the Baptist church, and the Baptist people taught us a lot of things. But they told us that all the stuff had passed away, and it would just have to be God's will if you to get healed. And so people would go to the doctor and get medicine, which you should if you need to, of course. But then they're praying, still praying, if it was God's will. And I always wondered why, just as a kid, I kind of wondered why even go to the doctor if it isn't God's will? I don't know if you thought that. I did. But then we pressed on. There were a group of us. We just pressed on. And we were like, we want to know all of God. We want to know God. But we don't want to be deceived. So we prayed and we walked out mindfully, and God just introduced us to people. We just met people all along the way who began to show us what God could do and has done. And I'm telling you, I experienced that. I know I've told you many times that I had asthma. I grew up with asthma, and I mean, we could go to the back door of the doctor's office because I was there often enough that they said, just bring her down. You know, but when I was 8 months pregnant, my pastor prayed for me, and asthma left me forever and never came back. And I'm so grateful to him and so grateful to his wife, because she taught us how to love. And they were spirit-filled people. They were out of the Pentecostal church, but they had come out of that because they knew there was more. And so we all want to know more, and we're going to grow all the time. But I'm at least, church, glad that we've grown this much. I'm at least glad that you know, and then we met the Word of Faith people, which helped us understand that the Word has the power within itself to bring itself to pass, and that our confession matters. And, you know, there's a lot of labels about us. We're just so, you know, we're so way out there. Yeah, we're way out there enjoying God, you know. And so people are going to, no matter where you are, people are going to say things. Don't be concerned about that. You just go as far in God as you can. Amen. Let's open. Did I tell you where we're opening to? We're going to open to Mark, one of my favorite chapters, maybe my favorite chapter in the Bible. Mark 4. Praise the Lord. So y'all had a happy Christmas?
Yeah.
So I'll tell you our funny family thing we did. So we ate dinner and opened gifts together and stuff like that. But then we turned on YouTube and watched every version of O Holy Night. We're like, why? Well, we were voting to see who could sing it the best. Okay, and so we had a panel of the family. And we're all voting on who sang O Holy Night the best. And the contestants were Carrie Underwood. She got a lot of votes. Martina McBride, Celine Dion. I think was Josh Groban. Yeah, he was in it. Just a bunch of them. But you know, being as we're Texans, yeah. Carrie won, I believe. Her and Martina. So praise the Lord. But we had a lot of fun. And what a blessing to... just have your family. Amen. And enjoy Christmas. It's a good thing. God is so good. And it was a blessing for me last week when Alvino and Esther came in here. my friends from a long time ago. What a blessing. Just to see your old friends that you've been with for so long. You know, we don't all get to talk every day with each other, but we still all love each other. Amen. Mark 4:26. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Did you get that? That's what the kingdom of God is like. Jesus said that. That's what he said. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. The kingdom of God works by the same principle as farming. Yeah. He said in the Old Testament too. He says as long as the earth remains, there'll be seasons. There'll be seed time and harvest, right? You know the scripture. Amen. And so, but that's how the kingdom of God actually works. So you can get a whole lot out of Mark 4. We're just going to go with 26 though, 27 now. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. Did you get that? So he doesn't understand how it happens. So you sow your seed, you sow words, you sow deeds, you sow finances, you sow all these things. You really don't know how it's bringing back a harvest, but it does. Yeah, I mean, you can, and that's positive or negative. Whatever kind of seeds you're sowing, they're going to grow up if you don't command a crop failure over them. Amen. And so it says the earth produces the crop on its own. So in other words, your heart is the earth. It's the ground. And if you're good ground, it's going to produce 30, 60, 100-fold return of what you've said or sowed or done. The earth produces the corn on its own. First, the leaf blade pushes through. Then the head of the wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. So that's how the kingdom of God works. It's by seed time and harvest. You sow into it. It manifests what you need and want then here in this dimension. It's real easy. This is not a hard thing. Jesus said, in fact, that if you have to understand this parable of the sower sowing the seed, it'll be really hard to understand the rest. You have to get this because this is how everything works. Amen. All right. So, you sow your words, they're going to come back to you. They're going to manifest in this dimension. You sow your deeds, they're going to manifest in this dimension. They're going to come back to you. You sow faith, and it'll manifest in this dimension what you were believing for. That's what's going to happen. So you give your tithe, and then that brings the protection and keeps the blessing flowing. You know, we say the devourer is rebuked and the windows of heaven are open. That's still good in the New Testament, church. It's still good in New Testament times. Yes, it is. Because why? Because the devourer has already been rebuked by Jesus. Okay? And so what happens here is, and by the way, the windows of heaven are open. You're not trying to pray through a brass heaven. If the windows of heaven are closed, it's right over your head. You're doing it in your thought life. But Jesus opened the windows of heaven. Jesus conquered the curse. We're not under the curse. However, the reason why we tithe is to put faith in the promise. We have faith in the fact that the devourer is rebuked. So we tithe into that. We bless into that. We work into that. We give so that the windows of heaven can produce. But it's all an act of faith. I have some money in the bank. I hope you do too. But I have to either use my card or write a check or hit the transfer button to get any of it. But it's mine. It's yours. All the harvests are yours. It's just that you have to use seed time and harvest to keep it rolling, keep it going. As long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. Now, here's 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this. A farmer who plants seeds, plants only a few seeds, will get a small crop. Well, so see, it's your choice. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Amen. You must decide in your heart, not what anybody else is saying to you, in your heart, how to give. And don't give reluctantly. Well, I guess they want me to give. I guess I'll give. Keep your money. And not in pressure. If you don't help us, we're going down. We ain't going down. Because we trust God. Amen. We stop trusting God, we could go down, but we're not going to trust, put our faith in anything but Him. So, but you decide in your own heart. God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need, and then you will always have enough of everything and have plenty left over to share with everybody else. And that's the kind of life you want to live. God is able to provide in abundance everything you need. And the way that it comes into you is by you putting something in there and then it flows out to you. Yes. Now that's as easy as the kingdom of God works. It works with money. It works with word. It works with love. It works with trusting God. It works in every area. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap.
Yeah.
You say, well, why is that? Why is that? Because God gave you a will.
Amen.
See, there's this whole doctrine that God's in control. It doesn't matter what any of us do because God's in control. That's a lie of the devil. God can be in control of what you let Him be in control of because He gave you a free will. Listen, can I just be strong for a minute? God will let you go to hell if you want to. He doesn't want you to. He doesn't want anybody to. But He gave man a choice. And then He gave him authority. And so you have to make that choice to participate with Him. Jesse's my friend. But he's my friend if we participate in it. You have to participate with God. If I invite him out to lunch, then I'll have to participate by paying for his lunch because I invited him. Right?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You see what I'm saying? We participate in these relationships.
Yeah.
I love your text. Chava, I call him Chava, but Salvador will send out texts to a bunch of us and a little text say, hey everybody, I've got God's number if you want it. Stuff like that, you know, and he puts the thing on there. But we're participating. We're participating with God and each other. I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. But God is good. Now, you want to participate with Him? Sow seed. If you don't, then don't. Brother Copeland used to say, that's what it said. If you believe it'll work for you. If you don't, goodbye. Well, that's straightforward. But you see, in Brother Copeland's time, in the era he lived in, he had to fight so many religious spirits that people couldn't even see the word. And so he had to be real frank. Well, I just have to tell you, I'm his kid. So sometimes I'm really frank.
Amen.
But it doesn't mean I don't love you. Because
right.
I do love you, and that's why I say it.
Right.
Sometimes you just have to hear it. You just have to say, hey, wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up. You want a harvest? Sow some seed. Also, believe God for the harvest.
Yes. Yes.
Believe God for the harvest. Amen. Well, I don't think you should be sowing seeds of money so you can get something. Well, then you don't believe that scripture. Because the whole idea, everything behind accumulation, the motivation for accumulation is distribution. It's not all about us getting, pulling some little arm of, what do you call those things they do? One-arm bandit. Thank you. Gone out of my mind so far. I don't remember. Call him one arm bandit. God, what are you going to give me? I'm putting a quarter in. It's not that kind of stuff. This is about a flow round and round in the body of Christ, keeping churches being built around the world, keeping churches open, keeping things flowing, keeping the gospel getting out. That's what it's about. Do people Oh, there's charlatans everywhere. People misuse it all the time. But we're in good company with honest people.
That's right.
Amen. And I'm grateful for that. So I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the truth. Thank you that all the seeds that we've sown collectively, the ones we've sown together, I call for a harvest flowing in full force in the name of Jesus. All that we sowed to Israel, all that we've been sowing into all these churches around the world right now, All of the, when we brought the Jewish people home, all of those seeds we've sown, everything that we've sown to help people, help one another, I call for a full force harvest to come forth individually and corporately. I declare it comes good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, brothers and sisters. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you would like to give me a text message, you can give. Text VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. You can see online also how to give if you'd like to do that. I think there's a give button out there. And we honor your gift. We bless your gift. And by the way, those of you who have sown, you'll be getting, you can always get your contribution notices in January. Most of you, I hope you know that on Realm, you can go look at your contributions anytime. So we make it available to you so you can look at your giving, so you can keep track of your giving. Amen. And of course, for tax-paying reasons and things like that too. All right, John 5:39. Now, this is going to be good. You're going to like this.
Amen.
God is good.
So good.
Praise the Lord. John 5. Praise the Lord. Candace? What afflicted you will afflict you no more. Gone forever. Affliction shall not arise another time. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. How many of you know that the scriptures are important? How important are they to us? We're Word of Faith people. We do. We understand that the Word has the power within itself to bring itself to pass. When it comes into our heart and then back out our mouth and we say it, things manifest. We understand that. So what I'm about to tell you and talk to you about today, I want you to understand that I will never veer away from how important I think the Word is. Okay? Amen. So, Jesus is at the Pool of Bethesda here. In Hebrew, it's Bet Hesed. Did you know that? So, that Pool of Bethesda is Bet Hesed. Now, we know how big Hesed is. Okay? House of Loving Kindness. That's the short version. House of Loving Kindness. And this is where they say, and some scriptures say this, some scriptures don't. I believe the scriptures that say it are absolutely right. They say that an angel would come and trouble the water. And so whoever could get into the pool quickly, they would get healed. Amen. This is just a known thing that was happening there. And this particular place, it's a covered porch, and it's near the sheep gate. And so now the sheep gate is called the sheep gate because it's a sheep gate. It's where the lambs would come in to be taken to the temple. All the animals came through there, the sheep gate. They would come in to be taken for sacrifice. Now, isn't this interesting that the Lamb of God is coming to this covered porch? He's coming into this place. That covered porch, if we really wanted to look at pictures, it would represent the law. Because they're laying there, the law is covering them, which means that they have to get themselves to the pool. But when Jesus arrived, they did not have to get themselves to the pool. He walked right up to them and gave them what they needed. And that's where we live. Praise the Lord. Now, in this verse, Jesus has been talking to them about God and himself, okay? And God has given Jesus authority on the earth, and Jesus only does what the Father does. We've talked about that so many times at Victory Church. We talked about Jesus, he's always saying this. Well, let me just read you scripture, John 5:19. Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." So God is looking, Jesus is looking at the Father. He's listening to the Holy Ghost, to the Father. And whatever God says, that's what he does. He just doesn't pick and choose. He just doesn't say, well, you know, from my experience, that what I did last year. No, he doesn't. For every situation, he's checking in with the Father. He's listening to what his Father is going to tell him. He says, I do nothing of myself. I'm doing what the Father shows me to do. That's a lot of freedom, isn't it? You have to come up with anything yourself. I like that. Praise the Lord. So, we all know that everything that Jesus planned, everything that Jesus did, all the instruction he had came from the Father through the Holy Spirit. And so just read the book of John. You're going to hear it over and over and over. And you're going to hear Jesus telling us he's the one that guides you. He's the one that comforts you. He's the one you need to listen to. So when I was talking about that particular scripture, and we're looking at that scripture, all scriptures, all word points to Jesus. So you can't just say the word, the word, the word. Jesus is the word. It's pointing to a person. Okay? So when we get this verse, Holy Spirit's trying to tell us something. By all means, the scriptures are wonderful. And we can't live without them. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. But the word points to Jesus, and this is my point. We cannot make the word just a book of principles to try to follow. Come on. Did you hear me? It can't be a book of principles that you just try to follow. Stay with me. You'll get the picture here. See, we have to see it as God talking to us. This book is our friend. This book is, you can read this and it's God saying, hey, this is what I did. This is what my blood was about. This is a, look at what happened to the curse. The curse was defeated. All these kinds of things. It's God talking to us. I just believe that this year that we're going to take a new step into something. And we've been on this trail a long time, and I think we're doing pretty good. But for some others that may need to come along a little more, and for all of us that have been steeped in this and that, we're going to go from religion to reality. We need to have just no religion and all reality. Amen. In the true sense of what we know religion is. Amen. And so I want to talk to you just for a few minutes here about navigating the ecosystems of grace. Navigating the ecosystems of grace. Also, nurturing with and nurturing the ecosystems of grace. What does that look like? What does that look like to us? Because I believe this can bring us into exactly the places we want to be. Excuse me. Now, so we just cannot leave the Godhead out of our walk. Right. And just try to live for God. Mm-hmm. We can't just totally rely on the Bible as a set of rules and duties. Right? We must have relationship with God. Particularly Holy Spirit, because he's the one that's in us, church. And last Sunday, I talked to you about glad tidings of great joy. Remember that? I cannot emphasize the importance of joy. I just can't tell you, not enough. I can't emphasize it enough. Joy is so important. Your walk with God should be joy-fueled. You need to write that down. Joy-fueled. You're going to have a joy-fueled year. Amen. Amen. Joy-fueled. Now, so joy flows from giving and receiving love. Okay? Now think about this. Jesus endured the cross because of the joy set before him. So what does that mean? Let's get down to it. It means that he endured the cross because he wanted to be with us. He wanted to have the joy of being with us. He want to have the joy. Just there's some. You have the joy of being with. Did you see Jesse over the holidays? Yeah. Jesse. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And there was joy.
There was
joy seeing sister. Yeah. See, the joy. God wants to be with you. He doesn't. I'm going too fast here. Praise the Lord. We'll work on it here. So. He endured the cross. He took that punishment so he could be with you. Listen, God handed Israel the law, did he? Because they didn't want to talk to him. They said, Moses, you talk to him.
Yeah.
We're afraid of him. You just talk to him. We don't want to. So he handed them the law. Okay? But he offered you himself. You've been offered himself as a man. He wants to be with his people. And he wants his people to be Jesus-led or spirit-led and not guilt-driven. Guilt and fleshly duties just smother joy. They just smother joy. I got to do it. I have to do it. I have to do it. I have to be good. I have to do it. No. I feel guilty because I didn't do that. Step over that. Step over that into a relationship with God. You know, here at Victory, we know something about righteousness. We've been raised in this. We understand what righteousness is. We understand that righteousness is a free gift that Jesus paid for. Right standing with God. You are the righteousness of God according to what the Apostle Paul wrote. So you're not trying to be righteous. You are righteous. And then you have that nature come, the righteous nature come out of you. And if you can get that right, then you're going to do what's right. Do it right because it's right. Because you have that nature coming through you. Instead of trying to earn what God wants, trying to be good, trying out of your flesh, you operate in a different way. Well, you do this by being in a relationship with God. He's not far away. Now, so we're not earning his love. Now, I just want to just take a little time to push a little further out on this, if you'll just let me today, because you're going to have a wonderful year. Principles are good. But you can't just rely on a principle. Jesus said, once again, I do nothing to myself. He wants to lead you into, and I want you to write this down, thinking with God. Thinking, having the mind of Christ, thinking with God.
Yes.
Come on into a new place. I'm really looking at this in a whole new level. Think with God. Don't just, you know, I ask the Lord all the time, what are you thinking? What do you think about this? Let's walk together. I'll walk up the road and then I'll stop and pause and listen. Then I'll pray a little bit and I'll walk up the road and I'll, what do you think about this? And a lot of times it's, you need to shut that down. You need to do that. You know, you need to, or come on, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
Or he may just say, isn't the sunset pretty? I mean, whatever it is, I want to hear it.
Yeah, me too.
Amen. But you're walking with God, you're living with God, but you're thinking with God. Listen, I'm not going to be able to get all this out today, but by the time we get down the road here a little bit, you're going to hear God so clearly. You're going to hear God so clearly. And it has to do with your thought life. It has to do with what you're thinking. Okay? So we always hit that at a level. You know, cast the worrying out of your mind. Words fight thoughts. So you got to say something if you have a negative thought. Your thoughts don't fight thoughts. Words fight thoughts.
Yes.
You know, count to 10 inside. I always did that with y'all. Count to, close your eyes, count to 10. You start counting to 10 and then I say your name and you say your name. What happened to your count? It quit. It stopped because words fight thoughts. Amen. So we understand these things, but I'm telling you, we're going to another level. And so not just thinking about God, thinking with God, not just thinking about God, but thinking with God. It's about growing a steady, consistent connection with God. God's life, grace, and truth are available to us every day. And so he guides us day by day. You know, it seems easier. And of course, I've been there. You've been there. It seems easier just to teach people Bible principles and hope that they know the right things to do and how to think, and then they could make better choices. Did you hear me? That all sounds okay, doesn't it? Let me give you some information. It'll help you make the right choices. But notice who's making the choices when you could just hear from God and make the choice to do what He says. You don't have to struggle through it and make a list of pros and cons. Well, we're going to move over here. Well, let's do the pros. Here's the cons. You know. Well, what if you just got in there and listened to the pro? And he said, don't buy that car or don't buy that computer. It's not going to be good. Do this one. This is better. What if you could just hear that good that you made those kind of decisions? Because you can. Anyway, walk with me because we're going to get there. So you have to get this growing, steady relationship, guiding us day by day. So it seems like it would be a whole lot easier to do those things, but better is to learn and listen to a living God. Just better to. You could get your list, but it's better just to hear what He's saying. You got to agree with me on that. You know what's right. You know, we don't want to just be left with the WWJD Christianity. It's just trying to guess what Jesus would do. Well, what would Jesus do? You know, in that way of thinking, we don't live as if Jesus is here right now. If you live like that, it'll come down to having the right information to calculate the truth on your own. How about instead of what would Jesus do, how about Jesus, what are you doing? What do you want to do with me? What are we doing right now? That's better. That's better. Where I appreciate Larry's wisdom. And I could say, now what would Larry Wallace do in this? I could also just call Larry and say, Larry, what do you think about this? And he could say, do this. That's even better. Amen. I don't have to calculate. I can just know what to do. Go there. Don't go there. Say this. Be quiet. Don't do that. Don't invest in that. Take your money out of that. Do this. Say this to all those things could be just so much easier. Just information isn't working well in achieving character. It won't bring character change if you just get information. Church, we cannot replace heart-to-heart connection with service and study and duty and obligation and success and image. All those things are good. I'm not knocking some of those things, but I'm telling you they need to be in their right place in the lineup. They're not the foundation of your relationship with God. You're going to hear everybody tell you how to meet your goals. And we even talked about it last week. Nothing wrong with that. That's some good information. But I'll tell you how you're going to reach your goals. If you can hear God. If you can hear God, you're going to reach your goals and do what He says. Amen. So it's the better way. It's the better way. Praise the Lord. So, you know, we're just not left with this written guide here. The word is alive, but it's supposed to connect us to the Spirit of God. And God wants to talk to you through your spirit. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those that He loves. It's known by the Spirit. The Spirit knows the deep things of God. The Spirit knows the deep things in your heart. He knows what can happen and what can change and what can mesh up and what doesn't need to. Amen. He knows you best. So you cannot just read the Word and depend on your own human effort to live for God. I'll say this. I said this before. We need to live from God because of God. Live from God because of God. And that takes humility. It does. You have to humble yourself to do that because we think we're so great. But there's a thin line between confidence and arrogance. It's called humility. That's what it is. Confidence smiles, arrogance smirks. Humble people can listen to advice and bend their methods of reaching their goals and still keep their boundaries. You can be humble and you can still do what you need to do. Amen. All right. So we want to experience God in real time. That's what we're talking about here. Experience God in real time. Now here's something I want to roll at you. We want to do it together. We want to do it together. We're a family. We want to do this together. I want to experience God with you. I don't want to just experience God when I'm walking down the road and talking to him and in my study and doing all those things. I want to experience God with you. With all of you. Now, this is important for this year because the glory. Okay? We want to experience it together. We want to experience him together. So, look, there's some things that have to get done around here. We know that. The staff really knows that. But, you know, we need teamwork to make the dream work. Praise the Lord. Everybody knows that. Everybody pushes that. And it's good. But we cannot just depend on our own human effort. Even in that area, we don't just want to replace heart-to-heart connection with just service and duty. We want it to be a heart reason why you want to clean the church. You're doing it unto Jesus and because you love the people. We don't want you to just do it because, well, I guess I better work at the church or I won't be good. That's no reason to do it. The reason to do it is because you love God and you love the people and you love this family. Yeah, I'll greet at the door because I love the people. That's what we would say. I'm going to show up early on Sundays to get this thing going up here. Why? Because we love each other. We love God. But it's not so much a duty. You could use the word duty, but I'd rather not. You know, when you went to pick up your girlfriend, it was not a duty. When you were going out on a date and you loved her and you were going to be together, it was not a duty. You got the flowers and the chocolate. Or depending on where you were coming from. That's not what came to my house, but praise the Lord. But they brought gifts. Yes, they did. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all want to know what my boyfriends look like? You want me to tell you? They all had this round circle on the back of their Wrangler jeans right here. Y'all know what that is? Yeah. The can. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, that's enough of that. Now, so. the stories I could tell. Anyway. Praise the Lord. So, here's the question. How can we become people that can clearly and consistently discern God's presence and guidance among us? And here's the answer. You ready for the answer? How many of y'all want to know the answer? Okay, not always. Okay, well, all right. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail. Here's the answer. We practice together. We practice together. That's how we're going to do it. No hard place or anything. We just become people that can discern together. Church, God's telling a story. And it's a story of joy. It's a story of peace and hope. And it's a story of love. And listen, I realize it takes practice to love well. It does. It takes practice to love well. Loving well means that we can grow to love one another even if we disagree or we can love people that oppose us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. So within that, we have to unlearn some automatic negative ways to relate to each other. Yeah. We do. And we get new skills that create intimacy and resiliency and belonging. Well, this shouldn't be something we just think about today. I want you to think seriously about it. Amen. Practicing love together. Yes. Practicing hearing God together. Well, you know, I like to stay out by myself. I don't want to love anybody. Well, church, Jesus said to love one another. Amen. And so love encompasses a lot of things, but we practice it. And so relational skills are just like physical skills. You learn to love like you learn to play an instrument. You learn to love like you learn to play a sport. You practice. You develop skills of loving. They're part of an involuntary function. You practice it so much you don't have to think about it. You automatically respond in kind ways before you have a chance to think about what kind really looks like. You just automatically do it. You don't have to go, okay, I better be kind here. Now, what is kind? What do I have to do? No, it's automatically going to come out of you. Amen. Now you see why we want Jesus to live through us. But you learn to listen and you learn to watch for these things and you learn to practice it together. How can we relate to one another? Mm-hmm. How can we practice this together? Skills, practicing the skills, practicing how you treat one another, what kind of look you have on your face. What are you telling everybody in the room by what you look, have the look you have on your face? I understand some of you are intently listening, so you're doing this, but and that's okay. But I mean, like day to day, what are you telling? Yeah. I mean, if y'all could see what I see sometimes, praise the Lord. Juror number 506, come forward. No, I'm just kidding. I actually liked going to jury duty. I thought it was kind of an honor. I haven't had to go in years, in the name of Jesus. No, they don't call me because of my job, but you know, I mean, you're really serving your community. I know we don't want to get stuck in it if we don't have to, but I went and I never got picked because of what I do, I mean, it shouldn't really be a bad thing. Okay, onward. We'll talk about practicing love and that later. Now, it's like playing an instrument. We become a community of practice where the disciples are allowed to get it wrong, receive feedback, and try again. Now, in our group around here, we call that noble failure. Noble failure. And otherwise, we leave room for you to make, to do what you do in your ministry here. And if you don't get it right, we can say, hey, let's revisit this. This doesn't, and you're going to come up with, when the leadership, you'll come up with one thing or another. You'll go through the noble failure a few times and then you'll have to redirect.
Yeah.
Right. But you can also encourage someone in what they're doing. Now let's do it this way. This is how the house does it. You may do it this way out there, but this is how the house does it. Things like that. See, but we give people room that, you know, people open their big mouth sometimes and say things they shouldn't say. Well, that doesn't mean go, well, kick them out of the church. You know, no, there's room for that. Sometimes wolves have had to leave, but basically we don't have to go there very often at all. Now, skills take time to learn, and you have to practice, and we repeat the drill. Anybody take piano lessons ever? And how many of y'all still practice? Well, yeah, okay. I think about LaDonna, the violinist. She still practices. She still takes lessons sometimes. I'm like, why do you take lessons? You can play better than anybody I've ever heard. She's like, because we should always practice the craft that God gave us, the talent that we gave us, so we can go further. Amen? So, but what you do is you repeat the drill so they become habits. Right?
Yeah.
Randy, what's the top string on the bass? E. And the next one is... And the next one is... What? Yeah, that's right. And the last one is G. Right? Now, how does he just know that? Because he practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced, and I put him on the spot. So sorry about that, Randy, but you did know him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you want to know how I know the bass strings, how I can remember them? So you have to have a skill. You have to figure out some way to practice it. So they're EADG, eat at Deborah Grace's. So I can go to Deb's house and eat. That's how I remember this drink. What it was, the one about something dog? No, no. Every good boy does fine. So okay, now we're talking about things that you learned, right, are we? We're talking about things that you learned to help you get your skill going here. Now, so we can practice love for one another and being aware of God's presence. Those are the two things we're talking about right now. So we can have a joy-fueled life, okay? So what we have here is you get your thinking with God. We practice thinking with God with each other. We practice loving each other. And here comes the glory. Okay? And listen, and when you do that, you start acting lovingly. Mm-hmm. So we practice that. Now, no tennis player practices their serve during the match. Am I right? There's too much pressure. You were a tennis player, weren't you? There's too much pressure and no room for mistakes. You don't practice it when you get here.
Come on, yeah. Oh boy. Oh wow.
Ooh. Man, don't be on the praise and worship team if you're just going to practice it when you get here. You get sent a list. You get sent. Art's got to figure out how the count is, what the original song sounded like, and all sorts of things. And I can't stand it. Well, let me figure it out while everybody on the team waits. No, that won't cut it. So you have to practice it. You have to know the song. Can't just, you know, there are a lot of things that you can do because it's already in there. But there's some things you have to practice, new things especially. And so if we're going to another level, we're going to have to practice them. So if you want to see a harvest of peace, then you're going to have to continually practice and have mutual training, and it'll happen. Amen. Church is not a spectator sport. We're called to love one another. We practice healthy relationships on purpose. With Holy Spirit, having a relationship with Holy Spirit as well. If I have a Holy Spirit, a relationship with Holy Spirit, and I have a Holy Spirit with Addie and Kendall, who seem to be having a wonderful time on that back row right there. Kim's going to have to sit between them in just a moment. It's been fun for several weeks now, I tell you. But if we're going to do that, it's going to take practice. We're going to have to relate. Yes. We're going to have to relate. We're going to have to stop and think. Listen, here's what it can't be. Get out of my way. I'm trying to do my ministry. Move out of sight. I'm trying to do my ministry. Can't you see we're trying to do something here? Well, we come here for people. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So we focus on micro skills for good service, right? For a good serve. That's what, don't you focus on micro skills when you play tennis? It's is there a golfer in here? It's all about the swing. You got to figure that out, you know. It's how you hold the racket. I was blessed because my tennis teacher was left-handed like me, so I got it. I got doing it. But, you know, it's all of those micro skills. Well, there are micro skills to love. Cricket, cricket. All right, let's go on. Praise the Lord. So we all have goals. Okay, I'm heading down the home trail here. We have a mission statement here at the church, and we want to. And we want to bring, our mission statement is bringing people from milk to meat. Raising up leaders and to contend for the glory. That's what we do. And so we also have goals for the year that you'll be hearing about pretty soon. But listen, we can't just let the missions drive us. Okay? We can't just let the missions drive us or any mission drive us because you can harm people like that. You get your eye too much on just what you're going after. instead of loving people well, you could actually hurt someone. Amen. And so, you know, like, Pastor, what does this all have to do? I don't know, all this loving God and practicing his presence and following him. It's just real simple. This is what it boils down to. You cannot practice loving God or even others by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You can't love God without us. You need the body of Christ. You're a member of the body of Christ. Well, you know, me and Jesus, we've got a good thing going. I don't need anybody else. You're lying to yourself. It takes practice and us loving one another to get it done. Because we're what? We're one body with many members. And so I can't do without you. You can't do without me. We need one another. So we practice this love. We want to raise up some healthy spiritual moms and dads in the house. That's the last thing I wanted to tell you. Who are they? Who are those people? They're people of peace. Someone who cares. Not someone who tries to shove what they know down your throat. No. Uh-uh. No, it's people who live in a home of shalom. Harmony. Shalom bayit. People who are functioning as loving, emotionally healthy homes. That's what we're looking for. Like this. When Jesus sent the disciples out, and he told them to go into the houses. He said, if your peace comes back to you, get out of there. But if you say peace, if you say shalom, peace be unto the saints, and there's peace there, stay there and minister to in there from there.
Wow. That's good.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So spiritual, listen. I know we're taking a little longer today. We're still fine on the clock. But listen, you need to hear this today. Elders of the church, you need to read who they really are. They're not the governing board of the church. They're spiritual moms and dads. That's who they are. We've had elders in this church, but we're not elder run. We have a board, but we're not board run. We're Jesus led. We're led. Now, do we take advice? Of course. And think together, of course. But you got to put what's at the top at the top. But just saying, well, the elders are going to fire you today. That's not how the church was supposed to be built. So in case you need to know that, elders are the people who stood together, like Bill and Gay and Ron and Pauline and Virginia and Kathy and people like that, who grew up in the church. And now we have another group coming up who've done it. I would say the second time y'all walked into Victory Church, the Lord said you were mother and father in the house, meant to be elders in the house. Some of you others, the same thing. You've heard that. And so what we want to do is we want to grow up people that can nurture and help other people. And so you come into this healthy place. You come into this shalom. Listen, remember Cornelius in Acts 10? That was the perfect house for Peter to go into. It was real easy because it was already ready. It was already ready. So when Larry and Jesse walk in here, they're already ready. Okay? See what I'm saying? Deb's already ready. Some of you others are already ready. You know what to do and how to love people. Not that they can't learn. I'm not talking about us not learning. I'm trying to give you an example that you'll come into where somebody in the house loves you. Somebody in the house loves you. Somebody's not, they're not just going to go, well, they have just failed all over the place. Y'all with me? We practice the love. Lord, help me to say this last part right and we'll go. You remember recently God told us two weeks ago, that we had the house of shalom. That he was giving us peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Holy Spirit is laying out a plan for us, Victory. He's laying out a plan for us. He loves that we want to be excellent and fulfill our goals. He loves that. He wants us to win souls and do good, because when we do good, he looks good and he draws people. Like, what God are you serving? Because you have peace and joy and you're not broke, and that happened, but you got healed, and da da da, and you're walking in health, and that, whatever it is, and people want that. And so it's good to have those things, but not at the expense of receiving and resting and relating to God and each other. This should be where lifelong bonds are made. It's not a venue. Well, I'm going to go over here today. I'll see what this one has to say. Well, if we don't like it, we'll move on to the next place. This is a family that assembles to love God, to worship God, to hear God, to talk to God, to love others, to give to others, and a place to grow in giving and receiving love. A house of friendship. I don't want you to just know the word and follow it. I want you to hear God speaking to you in the word. I want you to hear the Holy Spirit saying this or that or whatever he's saying. Now, I really feel like there's quite a few of you that you already do this. You're listening to Holy Ghost. But let's go up another level. Let's go up another level. And listen, it's really easy to get back in the ditch of duties and feeling guilty if you're not doing something. So that's why I'm preaching this to you today. Come on back out of the ditch if you started feeling guilty about something. All that false guilt. Just God loves you. You're blessed. If he has something to say to you, he'll say it. And you'll get straightened out about it. Amen? Just ask him. Are you big enough to ask him? I mean, you have to do it all the time. Lord, what am I doing? Praise the Lord. What am I not seeing? What could I see more clearly? What could you help me with? And he'll just tell you real easy. He's not going to tear you up. But do you want to know? Because if you want to know, you're going to get there. Are you a victim? What's your thinking like? Do you just thrive on people feeling sorry for you? Do you just get all of your good hugs because people are, oh, I'm so sorry that's happened to you? Or is there a different level for you? Is there a place of respect where people see that you're an overcomer? Because that's a much better love. It's a much better love than just somebody feeling sorry for you all the days of your life. Just an attention, sickness being an attention getter. Or people being broke and they want to stay broke so that you can feel sorry for them. Or the government can provide for them. Well, my God provides for me. My Father and the Lord sends extra money to pay the national debt off. That's big. Ah, the government will do it. Well, pretty soon the government's going to be very different. And then not long after that, there's going to be a totally different government. It's called the kingdom of God on this earth. And if you've been well done, good and faithful servant, you may be ruler over 10 cities. And so when Katie got prophesied Queen Katie, it was actually right on key. Because we will be ruling. Yeah. I'm going to come over to your kingdom, the kingdom, and say, hey, how is it over here? We've been doing this over there. The people acted up a little, but Jesus, through me, helped them. And, you know, we're talking about it. Praise the Lord. They got what they needed. Y'all understand that there's going to be people that are unborn again on the earth when we do all that. Okay. So, too much to talk about. All right, I'm finishing. Our goal for the year is to navigate and nurture the ecosystems of grace by letting God lead, by being aware of his presence and loving others, by practicing love on purpose. You receive it? You can practice love on purpose. You could actually want to be the one in your relationship who is not the demanding person.
Yeah.
Who's not the, it's my way or the highway.
Amen.
Y'all are all going to straighten up in this house because I need some peace. You know, those kind of things. Jim's leaving. It's a joke we say all the time when we talk about people who are really selfish. We were actually, this is before we were sanctified, but we were at this place called the Crystal Chandelier. It's a dance hall in New Braunfels. And we were all sitting around. We just danced, you know, it's a country music dance hall thing. And I believe we were probably there to see George Strait. You could see him for $1.25 back then. Anyway, so we danced and everything. Well, the table over next to us, Jim had all the people at the table. Jim stood up and he was really big. Put his cowboy hat on and said, Jim is leaving. If anybody's going with Jim, you better get in the car. And they all went. Because Jim would have left them. So, you're like, what does that have to do with your preaching? Don't be like Jim. Let's stand up. Amen. You could just say nicely, I believe it's time for us to go, everyone. Can we go? Instead of being a little smart aleck. So that's something we could practice. Are you smarting off? Are you holding the whole conversation? Is everything about you? Is it? Do people move away from you after a while? You could ask yourself that.
Wow.
Instead of saying, nobody loves me, you could say, must be me. Because let me tell you, if you're going to practice love, you'll have to look at yourself first. All of us.
All of us.
We all have to. Amen. Listen, we're going to do this. We're going to hear God clearly, and we're going to love each other. Did you know that people already say this about us? They may say a lot of things, but they say those people really love each other. They already say that about us. Do you know that? Y'all are the most loving people. Everybody, y'all just love each other. Well, let's go to another level.
Yeah.
Let's just go to another level. Amen. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In Jesus' name, amen.